It's hard for me to imagine that there are people who really genuinely don't think there is a God. I know that there are people like that. There are people who defiantly declare that there is no God, and that those who believe that there is a God are foolish. It's been my experience that most of the people who are atheists actually do think they're God, but they're just mad at him. Okay, mainly because something happened that wasn't what they were thinking God would do. And I don't want to be so unkind about it. People were genuinely expecting God to do something, and they didn't see it happen. And so their reaction is to deny that there is a God. Or somebody in the church did something horrible and wicked to them, and so their reaction is, well, why did God let this happen? So there must be not, there must not be a God. The number of people who genuinely think that there is no God is not that big, in my opinion. Okay, I haven't done a survey or anything like that. I think it's pretty clear that it's hard to imagine, to me anyway, that you look around and you see how things are designed and the order of things and how things work and the grandeur of things. Like, I don't know how many people here have seen the Northern Lights. How many people here have seen Northern Lights? Okay. If you haven't seen it and you have the opportunity to do so, I encourage you to do it. It is something that is otherworldly. You look up and there are these streams of colored lights dancing in the sky for apparently no reason. You can't see the cause of it from the ground. It's not like moonlight, which you can see the sun is reflecting off the moon or anything like that. It's just that the air starts to glow above you. And it's extraordinary. For me, it's hard to imagine you see that, or you see the pictures of the universe that we're able to glimpse and see the wonders of it and think, oh, this just happened by random. It just accidentally happened. To me, that's ludicrous. And yet, it isn't enough to know that there is a being who made everything. The whole of Scripture is the unfolding of something beyond there is a God. It is the unfolding of what that God is like, what that God requires, and what that God wants. Okay? Because the reality is, we who have come to Christ, at least, we know that there is a God, but also that he is of a certain character. Okay? There are people who think that God is, there is a God, there is a power that bees, but he doesn't care about you at all. He doesn't care about you at all. There are other people who acknowledge that there is a God and that he matters and that we need to spend our life trying to make sure that we are doing the things that he wants. And if we do, then maybe he will do something kind for us. Okay? If you think back to the older days when people thought that gods were, lightning was responsible for a particular god, or the crop that came in was responsible for another god, and each god was, had a certain domain that they were responsible for. The idea behind there is if you make that god happy, then maybe they'll leave you alone at the very least. Okay, or maybe they'll give you something good. And there was, all sorts of sacrifices and rituals that people would perform to try and make God happy. But what this unfolds is something completely different than that. Okay? What this unfolds is that there is a God who completely loves you, who cares about you. We started the service today by singing a song that had the words, "I am cared for by the one who made the universe." It's a nice little, simple little song, but if you stop and think about what that means, that is extraordinary. I am cared for by the one who made the universe. The one who knows every single... let me step back. For those of us who have not taken quantum mechanics, there is an idea that you cannot know the exact location of these subatomic particles because of the laws of physics that are involved. And the best that we can do is come up with an idea, an estimate of where these things might be. Okay? That idea that we have in our heads about an atom where there's this thing in the center and these electrons spinning around it, that's a simplified idea. I'm saying all of that is, though we may not know these things, and the best that we can do is estimate, God knows the absolute location of every single electron on the face of the universe. And it's not like he's working hard to know it. He just knows. There is nothing that he cannot do. There is nothing beyond him. I was reading a devotion with my little girl about the universe, and then I went on to look up a little bit further. The farthest things that we know in the universe are so unfathomably distant from us that we have numbers to describe them. You know, we talk in terms of millions of light years, but we have no way of relating to what that means. But what it's describing is it is just so extraordinarily far. I have a little app on my phone that allows you to zoom down to the smallest and zoom out to the largest. It's really kind of cool to see the scale of things. And then you realize the largest and the grandest of things is not even a speck of dust on the tip of his finger. God, for whom nothing is impossible, says he cares about you. That's what this unfolds. And it most directly is manifested in Jesus. Okay? As I said, there are many people who believe in God. There are even people who acknowledge that Jesus existed, but they have a lot of trouble with the claims that Christians make about him. And I would like to say that those claims that Christians make come from this book. Okay, it's not like we just said, okay, what do you want to say Jesus is like? What do you want to say Jesus is like? They come from this book. One of the extraordinary claims that Jesus makes in this book, or demonstrates in this book, is that God loves you. Not he just generally loves, but that he personally loves you. God so loved the world. And the way that that passage means is that you're allowed to put yourself as a representative of the world. He so loves you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is the proof that God cares about you personally. Now, we all have lived lives that have not been trouble-free. That may be too complicated a way of putting it. In every single one of our lives, there has been trouble, right? And it's not unreasonable to say the longer you've lived, the more trouble you've seen. So then you can ask the question, well, wait a second. If God so loves me, why is there only trouble? Why do I only see trouble? And again, this is the argument that some of these people who are atheists take. Well, if God is like this, then why is the world the way it is? Why is there evil? Why is there... So instead of asking the question in a better way, since God is, why are these things so? They are upset in heart, and so they just reject that there is a God. In a similar way, we can be caught, well, wait, if God is good, then why has my life only been trouble? And since we don't have so much time, if we could sit down with God by ourselves, one by one, and he could take us through our life, one step at a time, one of the things we'd find out is a lot of the trouble in our life is because of places where we chose to do something he said not to do. We tend to forget those details. You know, I lied there, and that's why this whole thing started. We forget the I lied part and only see the trouble. And then say, why is this happening? Well, God sees it all. And he sets before us, well, the reason why that happened is this. See, there's an implication that if this is in my life, God must have wanted it. You know, we prayed for our sister's sister, who is in the hospital suffering things. It's not hard, and you'll hear people say, well, why does God want this for this person? Or they imply it, right? Well, if this is happening, so God must want it. And there's all these philosophical struggles, but why? I would like to say, from this perspective, God never wanted it. But things happen that God doesn't want. Things happen in your life that God doesn't want because he gives you the freedom to make choices. Now, not all the things that happen in our life are entirely because of our choice. Unfortunately, the way the world is designed, I make a bad choice, it can affect all of you. And you all suffer. But that doesn't mean God wanted it. Right? What the scriptures reveal is a God who loves us perfectly, who cares about every single thing that is happening in our life. Last week we looked in Hebrews chapter 12, and I reminded you Every terrible and horrible thing that you have ever had to endure, and all of the heartache and the heartbreak that that caused, God also felt. So, not only does he feel your heartache, he feels the heartache of every single human being that is on the face of the earth. And he does not ignore it. It matters to him what happens to you. It matters to him what happens to you. So then, okay, great. So why doesn't it work? See, here's the crux of the matter, though. Going back to that passage, God so loved that he gave that whoever believes in him would not perish. It is not God's will that anyone would perish, but it is also not God's will that he would force you to not perish. It must be received. It must be received. And this is the scary reality of our life. All of the good that God wants to do can be sitting right in front of you, and you miss it because you were not willing to receive it. And by receive it, I mean more specifically, you were not willing to receive him, Jesus. Jesus is not just another way of looking at God. He is not merely a different religion or a different religious thought. He is the entire key. Because the problems that man had in respect to God could only be solved by him. God himself had to come and solve the problem of the divide between man and God. And so he is not merely a prophet. He is not merely the head of a religion. He is the sacrifice that God himself made to reconcile the world back to himself. All of the other religions in the world, and unfortunately, a good part of Christianity is about what do we need to do to make God happy? What do we need to do to get into God's good books? Pray so many times a day, fast at the right times. And again, we know that prayer and fasting are not bad things. But Jesus did something completely different. I came, he said, that you might have life. In other words, I came for this one reason, to bring about the things that needed to happen so that you can have life. So then the issue becomes, for us who have already received him and for those who haven't, will you receive? You know, there are things that I personally am facing that I know up here, and I don't mean to be minimizing that, I know that God wants something better. But the challenge that I face is, am I willing to receive what he will do in it? Beyond, it'd be nice, do I believe? Do I believe? Well, for those who have not come to him, your life is the way it is because of things that you've done and other people have done, but God wants to rescue you. Yet he will not force himself on you. He waits for you to receive him. So I want to encourage everybody who's hearing me today, receive the Lord. You know, if you've never talked to God and said, you know what, when push comes to shove, I see that you need a price paid for all that has happened in my life that I could never have paid, and that Jesus came and paid it, and I want it, then you need to talk to him about that. Of course, somebody can help you with that. If you need help with that, somebody can pray with you. That's, of course, the case. But the issue isn't that you prayed with somebody as much as that you personally talked to him. And for those of us who have received him, and yet we face obstacles, we face conditions in our body that we see is not the will of God, we're suffering physical afflictions, we're suffering afflictions in our circumstances. You need to receive Jesus there. There is this notion that to believe God means go to church. And that is not what it means to believe God. We go to church because we believe God. Okay? We go to church because we have encountered God who so loves us that we want more of what he wants working in us. But the fact that you acknowledge that there is a God, the fact that, I don't know, your parents go to church, none of these things mean that you received him. And that's what makes all the difference. So if you have not received him, what's stopping you? Okay, we're going to stop here and have lunch together. If these things are ringing in your heart or you have questions, please come and see me because I would like to take more time to explain it to you and answer any questions you have. But at the end of the day, the will of God works out when you voluntarily ask him to work in your life. and then nothing is too difficult for the Lord in your life. Amen. Thank you very much for listening.